If you would turn back over to Revelation chapter 21, that portion that we have been reading, and in verse 27, there is mention made there of the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." And then if you turn back a couple of chapters as well to chapter 13, more than a couple, back to chapter 13 and verse 8. These are the two direct references to the Lamb's Book of Life that there are in the Word of God. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 this time, and it says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Book of Life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." And with God's word open before us, we'll bow in prayer, asking the Lord for his help for a moment. Our Father, we thank thee we can open up thy word and consider this wondrous topic of the Lamb's Book of Life. And we pray, Lord, as we meditate upon it and notice what the word of God has to say regarding it, that thy word will indeed live in our hearing tonight. And it will come to our hearts with freshness and with power. Lord, we may look at familiar verses, we may think of familiar truths, but Lord, we pray that there will be a sweetness and a blessing to all of our hearts that know Christ. And we pray, Lord, that there might not be any whose names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we pray tonight that thou would speak, O Lord, and work in hearts and bless the gospel as it is sounded forth, we ask. Give help. We all need help to hear. I need that added help to preach. Grant that help to us now, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We began noticing last Lord's Day evening that there are a number of books that the Bible says belong unto God. And we listed at least six of those that we can glean from the Word of God as books that do belong to the Lord. And books record details and facts and events, and that's exactly what the books of God do as well. They record facts and events and names. And we started off thinking about the book of God's eternal purpose, Revelation 5 and verse 1, where John saw the vision of the one sat upon the throne, and the book that was written within and on the backside with seven seals. And it is the book of God's eternal purpose, the purposes of God that will come to pass in the world. And there was only one individual who was able to open that book, and that is the one who is in control of all of those events. It is the Lamb that sits upon the throne that's found there in the book of the Revelation, described so often. We thought then also about the book of design, in Psalm 139, where verse 16, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written." There's the book of design that God has for each living individual. There's the book of the living. That's mentioned in Psalm 69. Also, Moses in Exodus 32. For Psalm 69, verse 28, "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living." Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. And we thought a little bit about that book that details the living upon the earth at any one time. And there are names that are blotted out. As someone leaves this scene of time, their name is blotted out of that book because they're no longer living in this scene of time. They've gone out into God's eternity. We thought about the book of remembrance in Malachi 3, the book of remembrance that is written of those that fear the Lord and have thought upon his name. That book that is going to bring rewards to the people of God. And it's mentioned a number of other places as well in the scriptures. There's the book of the records of judgment, Revelation 20, where on that great day of judgment, it says in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 20, the books were opened. And those books contain that which men and women will be judged according to. They were judged, it goes on to say that. That the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So those books record the details, the deeds, sinful deeds, the sinful thoughts and actions and words of those who are out of Christ, who are going to stand before the Lord. And then that brings us to the Lamb's Book of Life. And we mentioned it briefly last Lord's Day evening, but we want to think a little more about it this evening and what the Word of God has to say about it. This is a most special book, the Lamb's Book of Life. It's connected with the Lamb because of the blood of the Lamb that was slain. Because that's the only way a name can ever be put into the Lamb's Book of Life. It has to be on the grounds of the work of the Lamb. And you'll notice there in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, the full title that is given to this book. It says, "Whose names are not written in the Book of Life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." And there is its full title. And oftentimes, a book may have a shorter title on the outside cover, and then when you look inside on the first page or whatever, there could be a longer title that is given to it. Well, there's the Lamb's Book of Life, maybe even the Book of Life, sometimes it might be described as. But there in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, you've got the full title of this book. It's the Book of the Life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And there's the only way whereby a name can ever be put into that book. It has to be on the merits of the Lamb and on the merits of His shed blood. He's the Lamb that is slain from before the foundations of the world. And therefore this is indeed a very special book. And it is a record of those who are the heirs of everlasting glory. That's what this book is. Of all of those other books that we have mentioned, there's a particular purpose in each one of them. There's a particular purpose. There's a particular reason why the details are recorded in each of those books that are mentioned. And there's a reason why the Lamb's Book of Life has got particular names in it, because they are the individuals who are the heirs of the kingdom of heaven. They are those who belong to the Lord. They're those who are washed in His blood and who have been redeemed by His grace. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Now I want you to notice some of the details that are mentioned in the Word of God about this book. I want you first of all to consider, if you turn over to Revelation chapter 21, that only those whose names are in this Lamb's Book of Life shall ever enter into the New Jerusalem. We read a description there of the New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 10. John is carried away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. And it says there in verse 10 that he showed me that great city, the New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So there comes a time when the New Jerusalem is going to descend out of heaven and come down towards the earth. And we read on then through those next verses, and there is a fulsome description given of various parts of the New Jerusalem. And there are places there that are mentioned about the names that are connected with this place. For example, in verse 12, we read there that the gates and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And down through those next verses, verse 14 as well, the names of the apostles of the Lamb are mentioned there as well. There's a number of names that are connected with this city, but there's also a book that is connected with this city as well. And we're told right down at the very end of the chapter, the very last verse of the chapter, those who are allowed to enter into this city, this New Jerusalem that's going to come down out of heaven someday, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will ever be allowed to enter into the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is the place that the Lord has gone to prepare. In John 14, he told his disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them and that he would come again and receive them unto himself. The place that he had gone to prepare was the New Jerusalem. So this is the place that the Lord has prepared that's going to come down from heaven one day towards the earth. And into that place, that prepared place, there's only going to be allowed certain individuals. And only those individuals who have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life will ever be allowed to enter into that New Jerusalem. It is a prepared place for a prepared people. It's emphasized there in verse 27 that in no wise shall there enter into that city anything that defileth, or whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. No sin and no sinner will be allowed in through the gates of the New Jerusalem. No sinner and no sin. The New Jerusalem is barred to every sinner who's never been washed and cleansed in the Savior's blood. Every sin will be kept out of this. No sinner is going to bring in any sin into this place, because they and their sins are going to be closed out and hindered from coming in to the New Jerusalem. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. Only those who have their names in the Lamb's Book of Life will be able to enter. And those who have their names in the Lamb's Book of Life are those who are going to be cleansed from their sins. They're going to be those who have come to know Jesus Christ and trust in Jesus Christ. As that fuller title gives us there in chapter 13 and verse 8. He's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. The Lamb is always connected with the shedding of the blood. The Lamb never stands apart, never stands on its own. It's always connected with the shedding of the blood. And that blood is shed for the cleansing away of sin, for the cleansing away of defilement, for the purifying of sinners. And only those who have been washed and cleansed will ever be able to enter into the New Jerusalem. And the words of that hymn that we were singing there just at the offering time, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Well, there is a roll. There is the Lamb's Book of Life, that in it are listed those who are the Lord's, and those who have been cleansed in precious blood, who belong to the Lord, and it is they and they only who will be allowed to enter into the New Jerusalem. No one else, nothing else, will be allowed to enter in through those gates. And the gates are mentioned in that earlier part there. We've drawn your attention to some of those verses. There's the gates that are mentioned. 3 gates on either side of the city. 12 gates in total. But there's not one of these gates will ever enter, let in a single individual whose name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's how important the Lamb's Book of Life is. We will never get into the New Jerusalem if our name is not in that book. We need our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, if our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's a cause for rejoicing, the Lord Jesus said. Remember what he said to his disciples, if you turn back to Luke's Gospel chapter 10, and he had sent these disciples out preaching, and they had returned. Luke chapter 10 and it's verse 20, Luke chapter 10, verse 20. He'd sent these disciples out, and they had gone preaching, and the Lord had blessed their labors, and they had accomplished much to it, and these disciples, followers of the Lord, were very glad at what had been happening during this time when they had been sent out preaching. But look at what the Lord Jesus says to them in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's more important than anything else. Because remember, there was a man there whose name wasn't written in heaven, Judas Iscariot. There was a man in that company, and not one other of the disciples suspected him. There was nothing obvious in what Judas Iscariot was doing. He hadn't been found out on this particular time when they'd gone out preaching, and as they've come back and said, the very spirits are subject to us. As we know, the devil can change himself into an angel of light and has considerable power. And that was evidently the case with Judas Iscariot. And there wasn't a single one of the other disciples that ever suspected anything that was wrong with Judas Iscariot. And there they are, all back with the Savior as a company. And there's this collective rejoicing over what has been taking place during that time they've been away. And the Savior says to them most pointedly, don't rejoice in this. There's something far more important than rejoicing in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And as I say, there was a man there who didn't have his name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Lord, in a sense, was calling him out. Judas had been warned many times. Before you get to the culmination of all of those events in the Savior's life, Judas had many warnings. He had many warnings. Many times the Lord was gracious to that man and spoke to him in such a way that he himself must have known, that is a word in season to me. That's directed at my heart. Because there was that man there that day who did not have his name in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no more important thing and no greater blessing, no greater privilege than having our name in heaven's roll. Doesn't matter what else your name is associated with in life. Doesn't matter what other attainment somebody may have, or rank that they may have, or privilege that they may claim to have. There is nothing that ranks alongside having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, being on the roll call of heaven. And may we not rest until it is, and we are sure. And if we come to know the Lord, then it's a cause for rejoicing, the Savior said. Here's the greatest thing of all to rejoice in, that one day we'll go through the gates of the New Jerusalem. We'll enter into that city if our names are on that roll. The second thing I want you to consider here is that all those whose names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life shall worship Antichrist when he appears. That brings us to that other reference there in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Because there is a particular event on earth that has a very important connection with the Lamb's Book of Life as well. There is coming a day when Antichrist, the beast, the man of sin, is going to be revealed as to who he really is. He's the individual, as 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4 tells us, who's going to oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And there's going to come a day when the Antichrist is going to be manifested as that very type of individual. And furthermore, it tells us in Revelation chapter 13 that there are going to be many who will run after him. And they look upon him as being the answer to all the woes and all the troubles that are in the world. And they'll think that this individual is the remedy, is the answer to every woe that there is in the world at that time. And in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 3, it says, "And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." All the world wondered. That word "wondered" there simply means to have an admiration. They're going to admire him. They're going to admire him as he comes to the fore, and as it is evident who he is. They're going to admire him. They're going to like him. They're going to want him. They're going to follow after him. And they'll think that there is an advantage in doing so. In Jude, the little book of Jude, verse 16, it says, These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. And here's the phrase I want you to think about. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They think that there is an advantage in admiring someone and following someone and desiring someone. And that's how it's going to be with Antichrist. They're going to follow after him. They're going to admire him. And they're going to think there's an advantage here. There's a benefit in following him. Part of that is going to be the deception that the false prophet is going to bring about. In Revelation 13 verse 11 says, "I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of God, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." Now, three times it identifies the Antichrist there as the one who has the wound that was healed. And then there's this false prophet that's going to be his spokesperson. And he's going to persuade, and he's going to persuade by deception. He's going to take people in. People are going to admire him and think this is the answer, but they're going to be admiring him because they've been deceived into admiring him. Even to the extent it says there, they're going to make an image of the beast and they're going to worship it. Now that brings us back up then to verse 8. And here's the importance of the Lamb's Book of Life. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Every single individual whose name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life and who's on the earth at that time are going to wander after the beast. They're going to wander after the beast. They're going to be deceived. They're going to be taken in. The only exception with regards to those who will not be taken in are those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because they are blood-washed people. They have got the seal of the Lord their God on their forehead, as the book of the Revelation speaks of elsewhere. And the Lord is going to preserve them, and the Lord is going to keep them from being deceived. But everyone else, they're going to be deceived, they're going to be taken in. So how important is the Lamb's Book of Life? If all those who wander after the beast are those whose names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life, all without exception, all without exception are going to follow after the beast. Everyone whose name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we've already noticed that unless your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not going to enter into the New Jerusalem. So all of those who are unsaved, unwashed, uncleansed, who've never come to know Christ, they're going to be deceived. And they're going to be taken in that day. That brings us a little bit further in thinking about this book. All those whose names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life shall subsequently be cast into hell. If you go over to Revelation chapter 20, and we were reading this portion last Lord's Day evening, but let's come back to the last two verses of this chapter now. Revelation chapter 20, and those previous verses 12 and 13 bring before us the great day of judgment. Verse 11, the great white throne of judgment, and men and women, small and great, are brought before it. The books are opened, and they're judged according to that which is written in the book. And then verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whoever's name is not in the Lamb's book of life is cast into hell. So we're building up a picture here from the Word of God as to the importance of the Lamb's Book of Life. You can't get into the New Jerusalem without your name being in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to follow after Antichrist unless your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to be cast into hell. You're going to be cast into hell, into the lake of fire, if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know whether you noticed there a few weeks ago, there was an interview in the Belfast Telegraph with a Reverend Ernie Ray. He's originally from Northern Ireland. He was a Presbyterian minister for a number of years here up until 1984. But then he went over to England to pursue a broadcasting career. And I think, if I'm right, he still is a presenter of a Radio 4 program. He's been a presenter of that program, I think, for many years. But the Belfast Telegraph does some life feature every so often. They do an interview. They did an interview with him, and there's a list of questions and answers. And one of the things that he was asked was, do you believe in hell? Do you worry about hell? This is what he had to say. If hell exists, it's empty. If hell exists, it's empty. A loving God cannot condemn one of his children to everlasting fire. That's how he answered it. And he professes to be a minister. And that's how he started off. If hell exists, it's empty. Well, evidently he hasn't even read the Bible. Because God is going to cast every single individual whose name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's going to cast them into the lake of fire. That's the consequences of the judgment day. And some fool like Ernie Ray can say all he wants and believes whatever he wants, but it's like an ostrich sticking its head in the sand. Hell exists. And there are people who are going to be cast into hell. In fact, every single individual whose name is not found in the Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. There will be no mistakes on God's part. There will be no deceiving of the Lord in any way. They will be told to depart from Christ, and in being told to depart from Christ, they will be consigned into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. The importance of the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to finish off tonight by thinking, how do we have our name inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, as I've been mentioning, it's connected with the Lamb. And it's connected with the shed blood of the Lamb. And those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life are those who will come to Christ under the sound of the gospel. They will come to know Christ. They will come to believe on the Lamb. They will come to know the cleansing power of the Lamb. As the gospel is preached, they will hear of the Lamb, and they will believe on the Lamb, and they will come to know the cleansing power of the Lamb. Now, if you go back to chapter 17, Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8, we find a little more detail here about the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8, it says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the Book of Life." And we've already been thinking about that in Revelation chapter 13, that there's those who are going to wander after the beast, and they're all the individuals whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there's some other details that are given here now in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8. It says, "Whose names were not written in the Book of Life from the foundation of the world." Now, Revelation 13 and verse 8 talks about the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. Now, this verse, chapter 17 and verse 8, speaks about names that were written in this book from the foundation of the world. And the foundation of the world is a reference to eternity past, because God is said to love His Son from the foundation of the world. And the love that God has for His Son is an eternal love. So we're talking about eternity past. We're talking about eternity past. And when we come to think about the Lamb's Book of Life, we have a little insight into the great plan and purpose of God in redemption, that God is going to save a people. He has purposed to save a people. He's going to redeem a people. There is a people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they're going to be redeemed and brought home to glory. You see, there is a people who will be who will enter into the New Jerusalem. There is a people who will not bow the knee to the Antichrist. There is a people who will not be cast into the lake of fire. And they are those who will be redeemed down through the corridors of time, from the beginning of the world to the end of time itself. There's a people who are going to be redeemed, a people who are going to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, a people whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. And what ought to concern a sinner tonight on earth is coming to know Christ and the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb. That's what is to concern the sinner. If you do not come to Christ for cleansing, if you're unsaved, you will be in hell for all eternity. You will be cast into hell. It cannot be any clearer. The Lord cannot say it any clearer. And it doesn't matter what somebody like Ernie Ray says and tries to excuse and substitute his own foolish notions. God cannot say it any clearer in His Word. If you have not come to Christ, and if you have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you'll be lost, and lost in hell forever. The Lamb was slain to cleanse you from your sin. God purposed this from all eternity past, that He would give His dear Son, and that He would come into this world, and that He would shed His blood. He would be the Lamb of God. There's a multitude of lambs down through Old Testament times that were sacrificed. The Passover lamb and a whole lot of other lambs. Every day, morning and evening, there was a lamb that was sacrificed. On the Sabbath day, there was two lambs, morning and evening. There was a multitude of lambs sacrificed, but there's only one, the Lamb. As John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And God has purposed, and He has set out that truth in His Word and in time again and again and again about the blood of the Lamb. And you and I need to be those who have come to Christ, been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. For it is they whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the mark of someone whose name is in the Lamb's Book from before the foundation of.